For the first time in years, there will be a meeting tonight between Israeli and Palestinian officials. It'll happen in Washington, and Secretary of State John Kerry will be there. They're starting talks in hopes of eventually reaching an agreement to end the decades-long conflict at the heart of the Middle East. So what are the chances that the talks will succeed? For answers, we're joined by Madeleine Albright, who was Secretary of State during the Clinton administration. She now chairs the global strategy consulting firm, the Albright Stonebridge Group. Madam Secretary, welcome.
It's nice to be with you. Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, how significant is what is happening right now, these talks resuming for the first time in years between the Israelis and the Palestinians with the help of Secretary Kerry?
I think they're important. I really do, because the parties have not really talked directly for 3 years. There's an awful lot of subjects that they have to take up. It's always been very complicated, but Secretary Kerry has worked really hard, I think, in getting them to come together in Washington for talks, which really will be talks about talks and how to get things going again.
Some might look at this as an odd moment to resume these talks, given all that is going on in the region. What do you make of that?
I actually think they're not an odd time. I mean, first of all, Secretary Kerry has put a lot of effort into this. In terms of the region, they are very important, and obviously there are many other issues going on in the region which are also being worked on. But I think that the talks themselves, as we know, developed their own momentum, and the fact that the secretary was able to get them here now, I think, is very important.
Well, how do the situations in both Syria and Egypt play into this? These are countries that are right next to Israel.
Well, I think what is interesting is, as I understand it, Prime Minister Netanyahu even spoke about the fact that this is an important time to get the talks going, given what's going on in the region in terms of trying to find some stability in a very difficult area. But obviously, the Middle East is in turmoil in many different ways. There are always discussions, Jeremy, as to whether Israeli-Palestinian talks are key to everything being solved in the Middle East or are important in their own way. I fall somewhere in between that. I think that they are essential for their own purposes because that struggle has been going on. The United States is very supportive of a two-state solution, and resolving that issue over the long run is very, very important. On the other hand, we do know that there are an awful lot of other various thoughts and various problems within the Middle East generally that have nothing to do with the Israeli-Palestinian issue, though, as you know, sometimes those that do not want to settle problems somewhere else blame it all on the Israeli-Palestinian issue. So it's a little bit of both.
But you think if there were some agreement, if these talks were to lead to some agreement, it would probably have an impact on some of these other countries in the region that are trying to deal with their own futures right now.
Well, I think it would. You know, I mean, first of all, I have to say this, and I think people need to understand that this is not something that's all done. And Secretary Kerry has made that clear, is that this is a long process. And having been involved in myself, I know how long they take. And there is no guarantee that in a few weeks there will be some resolution of final status issues. On the contrary. So I do think these talks are linked in a number of ways to the problems in the region, and it would be terrific if they were solved, but one can't just guarantee rapidity in it or a solution to everything that's going on in the Middle East.
As you have watched, as somebody who's been in a situation like this before, how did Secretary Kerry get us to this point?
First of all, he has put an incredible amount of his personal time into this, and he is somebody who I think is very focused on personal relationships. And I have to tell you that an awful lot of foreign policy and diplomacy is related to personal relationships. And he has gone from Amman to Ramallah to Jerusalem, back and forth, in a number of different times, had long meetings with people. And I think that that has made a difference. I do not know the details of what he has been doing, but I think that he has probably put suggestions on the table of things that they could talk about in order to get to the later issues, and always keeping in mind that the United States supports a two-state solution. But a lot of this, I think it's too early to say that this is all done. As I said earlier, this is the beginning of the beginning,
right,
in many ways. But I do think that Secretary Kerry's personal work in this has made a difference.
We're speaking with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright about the talks between Israelis and Palestinians set to begin this evening in Washington. We're going to have more when we come back. We'll ask her how much of a voice the U.S. really has in the region post-Iraq war, and we'll ask if she has any advice for Secretary of State John Kerry about how to move this process forward and actually perhaps get an agreement this time. More coming up here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now. We're talking with former Clinton administration Secretary of State Madeleine Albright about the talks set to begin this evening in Washington between Israelis and Palestinians. It is the first time in years the two parties have sat down together for serious talks. Secretary of State John Kerry said this morning that former ambassador to Israel Martin Indyk will shepherd the process.
He knows what has worked and he knows what hasn't worked. He understands that Israeli-Palestinian peace will not come easily, and it will not happen overnight.
Indyk played a key role in the 2000 Camp David talks, the last near miss in the long history of Middle East talks. So, Secretary Albright, you've said that this moment in the Middle East is more important even than the fall of communism. What do you mean by that?
Well, I obviously spent a lot of my life studying and talking about communism and the fall of it, and I know how really important it has been, was, will be. But there's something about what's really going along the whole Arab world is a massive change for countries politically that have been in some kind of a locked political system that have been run by a few people, and all of a sudden to be seeing mass intrusion, excitement, involvement of a lot of people that had never been involved in politics before. There also is an additional dimension of this that wasn't present in Europe, and that is the whole religious aspect to it. People debating what is the role of Islam in the 21st century, and something that the Muslims themselves are debating. So you've got the political issue, the religious issue, and then you have a huge economic issue. So all kinds of forces are in play in a region, frankly, that one could argue was created by colonial powers at the end of World War I. There's a credible book that President Clinton told me to read called The Peace to End All Peace, which describes what in fact happened at the end of World War I, how these countries were created. So there are an awful lot of elements that are going on, some of which were present in Central and Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, but not all of them in this particular way, especially at a time of social media and us knowing everything that's going on everywhere.
And does the U.S. have a real voice right now after what has happened with the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, and all of the various elements of the Arab Spring and our involvement in them over the last several years?
Well, I always believe that the U.S. has a voice, but I think that we have to keep in mind that in many ways this is not our story, nor was, frankly, the story in Central and Eastern Europe. I mean, what was very interesting in that was these were countries that wanted to be a part of Europe, that wanted to be part of the West. The story in the Middle East is quite different, as I said earlier. I think the U.S. always has an influence in a number of different ways. One, because we are the United States, some through our assistance programs, some through our general kind of influence. But as I said, this is not only an American story, and I think we have to keep in mind. I also do think, and I've said this before, is I am very saddened by the results of the war in Iraq, which in many ways made America's reputation something that people question. So there are a lot of aspects of this and something that we have to understand. And no president comes in and has a completely clean slate and or an administration, which is what President Obama and Secretary Kerry and Secretary Hagel are working with.
What about the players here? And let's start with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, somebody who no one would describe as a moderate.
Well, it's interesting. He, from what I've read today and yesterday, he had some very tough decisions to make. He had to go to his cabinet. He had to persuade them that going to the talks and releasing some prisoners was something that needed to be done. I think that he is somebody who is very conscious of history, and no decision is easy. He is not, I would not call him a moderate. I think that he is somebody who, when he wants something to happen, can be pretty decisive and persuasive. So, but he's, this is just, as I said, the beginning of the beginning.
Do you think he wants something to happen right now?
I think that he, from the things that I've read in the last 48 hours, I think that he has a desire to move things forward. I think the question will be, and this is what talks are about, is how the momentum of this will develop, what kinds of decisions have to be made by the Israelis. He apparently won the decision that no matter what the end game was going to be, that this would have to go to a referendum, which then requires a lot of domestic political work. And he has in various times been successful at that and sometimes unsuccessful. But this is a longer story.
What about Mahmoud Abbas? How much power does he have? How much sway does he have?
Well, he is somebody that has, again, some of it is kind of episodic. Sometimes he has a lot of power, sometimes less. But he has been weakened in many ways by some of the problems within the Palestinian Authority itself and then also with Hamas. And that is part of where this does get involved in the whole situation in the Middle East and how the connections among the various groups in the Middle East. But he also has obviously made a decision by sending his negotiators to Washington that he wants to see what he can do, and then he will work on his politics also. The part I think that people have to recognize is that both Mahmoud Abbas and Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, have domestic political audiences that have to be are part of this and require explanations.
Madam Secretary, what do you think is going to be the toughest issue to deal with here?
Well, there's always a combination of them. Obviously, they are the final status issues, which involve the borders and refugees and end of conflict. And these are the ones, you know, what are the boundaries? What kind of decisions are made about those who feel that they should be living in Israel and those in a new state of Palestine, and whether this will in fact be the end of the conflict. Those are the kind of key issues. Security, obviously the security of Israel and its recognition as a Jewish state. So there are an awful lot of issues out there that then get tied up in terms of the final status package and how you separate what is final status and how you begin to talk about some of them without really making a decision. Then always the thing that happens is kind of a motto, nothing is agreed until everything's agreed. And so that always is something that is a difficult diplomatic hurdle.
Finally, let me ask you, what advice would you have for Secretary Kerry as he goes through this process?
I don't think I need to give him advice because he's had it, but I think it's patience and creativity. But patience is a very important part of this. And but he's been, I think he has been remarkable in the way that he has systematically gone about this, devoted a lot of time and physical energy in going back and forth, but patience. But I don't have to give him that advice because he has kind of mixed patience and determination. So I think that that's what he's been doing.
Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Cancer Center at Beth Israel Deaconess, where researchers are working to discover new ways of diagnosing and treating a variety of cancers. BIDMC.org/cancercenter. And Olin College of Engineering, focusing students on the needs of people in the real world to ignite passion and innovation. Olin.edu.